Hey everybody, it's Matt. As we get ready to kick off this fun and really special episode of Growing Greater, I invite you to join me and our team as we take the show on the road. You can be part of our studio audience Friday, September 20th, when we interview Brian O'Neill, an inspiring entrepreneur and real estate developer, as he shares insights into his latest project, the Discovery Labs. We'll be gathering at the King of Prussia location of the Discovery Labs. It's shaping up to be the first fully integrated environment where big pharma, emerging biotech, and high-tech companies can all cohabitate under one roof. We're going to kick off at 8 a.m. with breakfast and networking, followed by our conversation with Brian about his career and the vision that he and his team have for the Discovery Labs. And then we're going to conclude with a tour of this novel office, lab, and co-working space. Be our guest Friday, September 20th, 8 to 10:30 in King of Prussia at the Discovery Labs. You have to register, so head online to selectgreaterphl.com/event. That's selectgreaterphl.com/event.
This is Growing Greater. Growing Greater. Bringing you the stories of economic growth, job creation, and business success from across the 11-county community of northern Delaware, southern New Jersey, and southeastern Pennsylvania. Now, here's Matt Gabry.
I'm like, hi guys, am I on speakerphone? And they're like, yes, but we're in the car, we're headed to lunch, what's up Schwab? And I'm like, and they're like, are you crying? And I was like, that's so hard. I was like, I don't know anything about brake drums and S-cams. What did I get myself into?
That's Brittany Schwab, a teacher in the Downingtown Area School District, and she may just have one of the coolest jobs in education. The story of Brittany and her colleagues are closing out our special series on innovative education and workforce development strategies that we've been producing in partnership with our Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia's Education and Talent Action Team. We call them ETAT. The businesses, educators, and organizations that drive the work of ETAT, they are positioning Greater Philadelphia as a true premier talent hub through cultivating groundbreaking and cross-sector collaborations, and this episode captures that spirit perfectly. Our special series has showcased initiatives across the region that provide vital education and skills training programs. And in this installment of Growing Greater, it's all about exposing our youngest students to STEM education. Located in Chester County, Pennsylvania, the Downingtown Area School District has established a really stellar reputation as a leader in creating and implementing a high school curriculum centered on science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM subjects. The Downingtown Area team, well, they've taken their passion and their expertise for STEM education to a whole new level. They are engaging elementary school students in the principles of STEM education. They're accomplishing this STEM-focused goal with students as young as five by bringing to life the Magic School Bus. It's that successful and very popular children's book and television show. And at the Downingtown Area School District, the official name of this customized bus, well, it's known as the Mobile Innovation Lab. And it's where students come on board and get immersed in hands-on STEM education learning. Matthew Friedman, he's the Chief Academic Officer for Downingtown Area School District. Matt helped to transform the Mobile Innovation Lab from concept to reality, and here he shares with us how he shifted that idea into high gear.
I think from my origins in southwestern Pennsylvania and all the progressive and innovative experiences that I had been fortunate to be part of, coming in with a fresh set of eyes kind of gave me the unique experience to take a look holistically at the district. And the one thing I noticed, especially K to 5 with 10 elementary schools, is that when anytime you want to focus on something and you want to grow and evolve curriculum, you have to look at the reality of things sometimes and look at the equitable piece that really stood out to me. Depending on the building, the buildings are not the same size or shape, and they have uniqueness across the 10 buildings. But with that, with the growth happening in our district, we were very limited on space. And so I wanted to create equitable opportunities for the students of Downingtown, especially at the elementary level. So when I came in here 3 years ago, it will be 3 years ago in April, we offered, as part of the academic day, world language to our elementary students, K to five. We offered it through an online program.
Okay.
And in theory, it was a great idea.
Yeah.
In reality, not so much, just because the students, they had it once every 6 days.
Okay.
And they didn't have a teacher per se, because they were learning it on their own online.
So just to dive into that for comparison reasons, world language, K through five, once every 6 days.
Cutting edge.
Online.
Online.
Yeah. I would think that's really tough for an adult learner.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So the hope really was for students to, they had access at home, and on their own, they would be motivated enough to continue to dive in.
Right.
So when I came to the district, that was one of the first things that kind of hit me in the face, where people felt that this was a little bit of a broken system.
Yeah.
Where in theory, it was great to say to the parents and community, we're offering world language at the elementary
right.
level. But in reality, it wasn't as effective as we wanted it to happen. So,
right. So as novel as it was a process that was a little bit off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in my position, the one hurdle that we always face in public education that we struggle with is time. Finding time to put things in that we want to put in. But with the world language not working the way we wanted it to, I now had the time in the school day to implement something that I thought would really help us from a K to 12 continuum. And that was really the focus on hands-on, innovative learning, STEM-focused learning. So we really focused on the design process and habits of mind, and we created a course called iDesign. And it's been in place for about 2 years now. This is the second year. And the students K to five have that once every 6 days, but they focus on design challenges.
Okay.
STEM-focused, hands-on design challenges that we created, about 30 of them throughout the year.
Across all 10 of the elementary schools.
Across all 10 of the elementary schools. So the interesting part about that is that not all 10 elementary schools have a dedicated space to have an iDesign room. Actually, only two of our 10 have a dedicated space. So the rest of the time, the equipment and the things that we bought, whether it's robotics or different hands-on tools to really focus on these design challenges, the teachers teaching it would put it on a cart and push into
sure.
a space, not even a classroom per se.
Right.
It could be the cafeteria, it could be the musical stage, it could be wherever we had room.
Yeah, you adapt, you adjust, you make it work.
Absolutely. So we saw that as a problem. But we knew that this was wildly popular. This is something that we wanted to focus on as a district, because I don't think anyone could disagree that STEM-focused education, hands-on learning, design thinking, that was all important, and it could be incorporated into any content area. So about 2 years ago, I got invited to a STEM conference at Discovery Education in Maryland, at their former headquarters now in Silver Spring, Maryland. And it was a invite-only, STEM-focused, two-day workshop on education and how STEM integrates into it K to 12. Now, through the power of social media, I had been researching STEM education for years, and
sure.
specifically through the power of Twitter, just the one type of social media which I think is probably most beneficial to me as an educator, I found some great ideas across the country on equitable ways to incorporate STEM education. One really that stood out to me was the work that Baltimore County Public Schools was doing. And since they're a county system, they have 183 schools in their school district.
Wow.
Which is
ginormous.
Which makes 16 buildings
yeah.
look kind of small in Downingtown. So they have 111 elementary schools. And so their director of innovation, I had been communicating with for over a year, and we think alike, and we were very like-minded. You know, it was a friend that I knew virtually, never met face-to-face.
Right.
So as talk about serendipity, as luck would have it, I sit down at this conference, and at my table sitting right next to me is a gentleman that I've been communicating with for over a year from Baltimore County.
Your virtual friend come to life.
My virtual friend coming to life. So he shared with me his sketches. He was given pretty much the challenge from his superintendent to find an equitable way to provide STEM education to students K to 5 in Baltimore County Public Schools. And he came up with the Baltimore County Mobile Innovation Lab.
So that was your inspiration.
So that was my inspiration.
That's great.
And the partnership between two districts across state lines has grown exponentially. And we share a lot of work and ideas. And they actually came up and brought the mobile lab, shared the plans and blueprints. Both education foundations were huge parts of the development of these labs. And actually to see the two directors build a relationship was pretty neat as well.
That's great.
So I sit on the board of our Downingtown Community Education Foundation, and I brought this idea up because we're always looking to figure out how to impact learning in a pretty big way in the district. And so I brought this idea up. I gave them the backstory, and I kind of looked around the room, and there was a uncomfortable pause.
Right.
And everyone said, "We love this idea."
Nice.
So we ran with it.
Yeah.
And 18 months later, we had the ribbon cutting in October of 2018, and our idea became a reality. And so it's been an exciting venture for not only the students in the district, but the whole community and all stakeholders involved.
Elementary school students' access to STEM skills? Well, that requires imagination, collaboration, and resolve. Enter Jackie Fenn, Executive Director of the Downingtown Community Education Foundation. A passionate educator and parent, Jackie knows how to get things done, inspiring academic, business, and civic leaders to bring the Mobile Innovation Lab to life. Here, Jackie explains how she initially heard of Matt's plan and how they worked together to rally support for this novel idea.
So when Matt first brought this to us and we realized there was an issue, a problem that we needed to solve, and this was a solution to that problem. So we were fortunate to have connections in our community, got a bus donated. The IU has a college technical high school, so those students got real life experience doing renovations and demolition on the lab, and then a local company did the rest of the renovations.
Talk about collaboration. That's like coming to life right in front of you.
That was cool. And if we had more time, we would have worked with the IU students to do more of the labor because that would have been a real benefit to them to get that experience all the way through. It didn't work out that way, but it worked out well enough because we really wanted to get the lab on the road this school year to make sure all the kids had equal opportunities.
As is often the case, time is our enemy.
Yes.
And when you have a deadline, you got to get it done. And it's great that you had the foresight to include students from the intermediate unit who could add that kind of value. And I'm sure they were thrilled just to have that chance.
They were really proud of what they had done.
For sure.
Yeah, and they participated in our ribbon cutting, so
that's
great. Pretty cool.
So Jackie, take us back to that first moment that Matt came to you with this idea. Were you like, that's kind of wacky?
We went on a field trip to see it, and once you see it, you believe in it. So then we had the trip back to figure out how we could make it happen. We held a luncheon, and we invited all the municipal and community and business leaders to a free lunch, and you know, no lunch is free. So we had their mobile lab from Baltimore County there, and we gave tours, and we put it out, and we started raising money on the spot.
And the reaction from the audience who attended that luncheon?
Oh, they were so impressed. They were so impressed because, again, this is, if you think about what's good for your community, if you have a really strong school district, you have a really strong community. So if you're a business person, what you want almost more than looking at your own business sales is to make sure that the community in which your business is located is a thriving community. And that comes down to the school district. People move to locations and communities based on the reputation of the school district.
So in just a moment, we're going to hear from the real-life Mrs. Frizzle, the character in the Magic School Bus stories. But first, let's thank the team at Philadelphia Works, a nonprofit agency serving both career seekers and employers. The team at Philadelphia Works oversees employment services and training opportunities to help Philadelphia residents really thrive. They do that by connecting them with jobs, and they help employers access the talent they need to compete in today's market. Investments made by Philadelphia Works drive training and employment readiness solutions. And through their service delivery partners, Philadelphia Works is connecting employers to workforce talent and career seekers to jobs. Learn more at PhillaWorks.org. That's PhillaWorks.org. And join me in thanking Philadelphia Works for their support of this podcast and their active engagement with our Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia. Now, let's meet the real-life Mrs. Frizzle, Brittany Schwab of the Downingtown Area School District's Mobile Innovation Lab.
We have a maker challenge today. We're going to be using the Lego Leafy Robotics Kit.
I know, I saw your face and you're like...
There's going to be three parts to my lesson today. So the first part is going to be a central question, just like you have in reading. We're going to think about that question and we're going to pair share. The second part of our lesson today are going to be the goals that I would like you to accomplish during your time with me. And then the third part, when we're all cleaned up, we're going to sit back down in these spots. We're going to have our think time where we can reflect or think about what we learned, how we learned it, and a little bit about our Lego robots today. Are you ready to get started?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's talk about our central question first.
Parked in the playground area of the Brandywine Wallace Elementary School is the very welcoming and very impressive Mobile Innovation Lab. It's a customized and modified school bus that is super cool, with colorful lights lining the ceiling and touch screens to access the internet and secret compartments that house engaging educational tools. The eager students, this week it's the third graders, they are fully focused, paying really close attention to the exciting STEM lessons that are unfolding before them. Now, perhaps the most impressive and welcoming and engaging aspect of this entire initiative is its teacher, Brittany Schwab. Here, Brittany provides us a glimpse of just what happens on this novel, creative, mobile innovation lab.
Envision the magic school bus, right? So where learning just naturally happens on the inside, they have a crazy, wild, just like magical teacher. I dubbed myself as the real life Miss Frizzle.
Yeah.
And so they come on in and I talk to the average person and say, I have kindergarten through fifth graders, 6,000 kids in the district, so all the elementary schools, who do programming, robotics, engineering, and basically circuitry, depending on the grade level. And kids come in, they're fully engaged, they're working hard and together, and it's just this mobile, magical space of innovation, basically.
So, Brittany, how did you score such a cool job?
So it's actually an interesting story. Back in October, the district came to me. I would do robotics type things in my ELA class or my math class or science pretty frequently. It was just a habit, or I should say a passion of mine, and the kids loved it. And so they asked me to be on the leadership team for an innovative idea that was going to happen. And I sort of was like, sure, absolutely. Like, no problem, I'll go. So I went to Trestle, to our central administration building, and I walked in and I noticed it was like a huge conference round table of like administrators and principals. And I looked around and I was the only elementary school teacher that got invited. And I was like, what's happening here? This is amazing. I don't know what you guys are doing. So I was listening to what the idea was. And at that time, I remember I sat next to Bob Gearing. He's our Euclid Hills principal. And my face was flush red. And afterwards, he was like, you excited?
Yeah.
And I was like, how could you not be? This idea is amazing. And so I talked to Matt and John Blow after this, and I was like, are you guys like, is this going to actually happen? And they were like, yeah, we want it to. And I'm like, I need to be a part of this. In whatever capacity you need me, I want to help. And they were like, great, that's why we called you here. So having that first initial meeting, I remember going back to my building with my grade partners. I was a third grade teacher at East Ward.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you guys, but this is what's happening and it's amazing. And they were like, wow, this is awesome. So that's how this all started. And just being invited to that was probably the biggest blessing that I feel like.
So you clearly have a lot of energy and passion for teaching.
Yeah. Yes.
And for life in general, it
feels
like.
Yeah.
Is that why you think you were invited to that meeting? Or why did they pick this third grade teacher out of East Ward to come to this meeting as opposed to, you know, a sixth grade teacher out of another school?
That's a great question. I think that I'm full of life in all aspects of everything I do. And so I think that, yes, probably that is why they chose me. I think that I had the experience in teaching our after-school programs. I also was implementing it into my classroom, connecting it to standards, making it meaningful for kids. And I think that they saw that. And so being larger than life, as well as doing the job the way that you're supposed to, definitely got an invite.
First at our station today is an energy pack. Inside our energy pack, we have two AA batteries, and on the inside of the battery is called chemical energy. Can everyone say chemical energy?
Chemical energy.
So, Brittany, I was hoping that you could, especially for our listeners, help us bring the Mobile Innovation Lab here at Downingtown Area School District, bring it to life for us, if you could. Describe where we are and what's in this kind of cool facility that you are privileged to lead.
So what's really awesome, and I'll give it to you in the perspective of a kid. Let's talk about it that way, okay? So they come onto the lab and they walk into this wide open space that's clean and inviting. It's got these amazing cool lights, and that's the first thing. They come in, they're like, it's like a spaceship in here, it's amazing. I'm like, I know,
right?
So they come on in, they sit crisscross applesauce with their backs against the counter. They get a mini lesson for about 5 to 10 minutes. We talk about the essential question, which connects right into their literacy standards and reading. Then we talk about the goals that I want them to accomplish during their time with me. And then we go into the habits of mind. And I don't know if you're familiar with the habits of mind, but there's 16 habits of mind. And it's things like persistence and thinking interdependently, responding with wonderment. And so we talk about which habit of mind they're going to primarily focus on during their time with the hands-on learning challenge, I call them. And so the kids get about 20 to 25 minutes. They get a couple few steps, directions on how they're going to do that. And then they turn to their partners, and it's wild. It's like a natural progression of just collaborating between a team or two. Kids are problem solving. I rarely have kids ask me for help because they are just diving in. They're fully engaged. And so teachers are blown away. They're like, you're connecting to literacy standards or math standards, science and social studies. Kids are just diving in, solving these problems for you. And then what happens is we wrap this whole experience up for them with what I call think time.
Right.
And so I tell the kids that we're going to reflect or think about what they learned, how they learned it. And so we have discussion questions. It could be like, what was their favorite part of the lesson today or the challenge?
Yep.
Was it easy or hard? Because I want kids to feel that it was actually hard today and that was okay. So a big thing I might say, like, you know, it felt hard today, but did you give up on that building or that engineering? And they're like, no, I didn't give up today. We worked through it. And I'm like, that's called persisting. You persisted on through that task. So then they're like, yeah. I had a kindergarten say once, I'm a persister. Did you know that? And I'm like, yeah, I did.
That's great.
And so then we talk about specific feedback. And so kids will talk to each other about specific feedback on how they worked well together in their team. And then we tie it back together with one more question about the standard that they were focusing on. So I have a lot of times kids will come in and say, Mrs. Schwab, we're talking about behavioral traits in here. And we're making, you know, a honeybee do a bee waggle through programming. We just learned about animal adaptations in our own classroom. We have prior knowledge on this. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, kids are making real world connections coming into the lab through engineering, programming, robotics, even circuitry. And it's just natural.
And I love the part where you shared with us that the kids are working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they reflect on that and say, wow, that was really hard.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah,
right.
We did it.
Yeah.
We pushed through.
Yes.
Yeah. Which extends into all different aspects of life. Learning
yes.
skills.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Brittany, you started out by sharing with us, you know, the reaction that students share when they walk onto the bus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a spaceship. It's really cool. The lights are unique. It's clean. It's sleek.
Yeah.
Share with us. Just walk us through, you know, what are these things here and what's this screen over here and what are the little boxes that we have there?
So I'm super organized in everything that I do because it just makes my life a little bit easier. So when you walk onto the lab, you'll see that you'll have some, the kids call them turtles, but they're actually blue bots. And so basically what they are is they're little bots that kindergarten, first and second graders use. They're for directional coding. And what's awesome about them is that the kids can program those bots through different types of math. So you can see the mats that I have back here in the end of my lab.
Mm-hmm.
Kindergartners can program them to identify like uppercase and lowercase letters. Second graders might be identifying them with properties of different shapes. Go ahead and turn the bottom on so you can get some real sound on there. There you go. Now you can press some of those, but yeah. And then press go. There you go. So the kids, we talk about that the blue bots are very intentional. They count out that program that you give it today. And so they just go wild for excitement over that. But they're like, it's actually moving. And I'm like, yeah, it's a bot. So we have things like that. But we also have, we have iPad stations set up at times for different grade levels. We have little boxes. And inside those boxes, it has all the Lego pieces that they're going to need to build with. And so on the screens, we go through apps such as like Lego WeDo app. And they go through, they have picture visual directions. And they build or engineer different robots.
Even a kid can do it.
Even a kid can do it. Gonna flip that switch. There you go.
I love
you got that. It. You're persisting.
I am. I love that there are learning tools that some would say are toys.
Correct.
That kids can relate with. Legos.
Yes.
It's almost like making learning fun.
I wish that you could see their faces when I tell them that we have a maker challenge today and it's with the Lego WeDo kit. And they're like, ah, Legos. I have a great story about a little girl. So I had a first grader, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. She came on and she was like, oh, we're building with Legos today. And I was like, yeah. I was like, are you excited? And she was like, yeah, I guess so. And I was like, oh, okay. So she went ahead and built them. And after the lesson, she was like, that was so much fun. And I was like, yeah, wasn't it? And she was like, you know what? My brother has a whole tub of Legos at home, but I always thought they were boy toys. So like, right. I never played with them. And I was like, oh, what do you think now? And she was like, oh my goodness, I'm going home and building all the things. And I was like, that's right, you can. And she was like, did you know that you're a scientist, Mrs. Schwab? And I was like, I am, but so are you, sweetheart. And she's like, no, I'm only six, but maybe when I get bigger, I can be a scientist like you. And I was like, no, honey, you're a scientist now and an engineer. You engineered that robot and you're a programmer. You programmed it to detect motion with a sensor and it talked to you when you waved to it. And she's like, you know what? I am. I'm going home and I'm building all the things. And right. I was like, you go home. And she like skipped out of here. And I was like, my heart. We're doing something good here.
Right.
So yeah. It's just amazing.
What a great day that was.
It was. I mean, every day is really
a great
day. I was
just going to say, it feels like it is here.
It is.
For sure.
It is.
But I also like, and I know this is really nuanced, I like how we're able to break down those stereotypical preconceived notions that
yes.
start even when you're a young child.
I know.
That I'm not supposed to play with this kind of toy and my brother's supposed to play with
yes.
that kind of toy. And that's simply not the case.
Correct.
And you're helping to bring that to life for them.
Yes.
That's really great. So I noticed that there's iPad style tablets.
Yes.
How do we incorporate those tablets into the learning lessons?
So basically what happens with those is there's preloaded apps and those apps pair along with all of the resources that we use within the lessons. So the ones that are out right now are the Lego WeDo Kit app. And what's awesome about them is they're really visual for the kids. So I have a lot of times people will come in and be like, we can't do robotics and coding, like even kindergartners. I'm like, yes, you can. And so they come in and then they see the visuals and those directions and they're like, wow, like kindergartners can be engineers and programmers just by having those directions right in front of them. And kids have so much experience using touch screens now that when they come in, it's so familiar to them that I give them a few model steps and they're working through those programs like it's nobody's business.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Where do you think the Mobile Innovation Lab, after having been investing a lot of time and resources into this project for the past 12 to 14 months or so, where's it going to be in 3 years from now, in 5 years from now?
God, I hope with me still. I love this so much. So I believe the plan is that eventually we're going to take these resources that we're using now and be pushing them into the classroom. And what's awesome about the lessons is that the teachers come on to the lab. And I always say it's like a safety issue. And it's also like if your kid needs to go to the bathroom, someone needs to take them, you know. But it's giving them like such passive professional development. And so I've had a bunch of teachers come to me and say, you know what, that last lesson you did with the Blue Bot was so awesome. And I loved seeing my kids like naturally problem solving and just start thinking. I went out and bought one for my own classroom. And so I'm seeing teachers like seeing the tools that we're using in here and saying, I can do that too.
Nice.
I can connect these to standards. So I think that the plan is to push these out eventually and for us to get newer, more innovative technologies. It would be awesome to have things like, you know, virtual reality or AI and just like really push the envelope with the kids, definitely.
What kind of advice do you give to other school districts that are thinking of this kind of novel approach to extending STEM education into the K through 6 or K through 8 programs?
Don't be scared of the cost that you hear about. I feel like there are a lot of ways that you can incorporate algorithms and coding and programming through unplugged activities. And so I provide extension activities for teachers after they leave me. And a lot of it's unplugged because I don't want the teachers to be scared either. And so I think for other districts, I say, like, talk to your teachers about the unplugged first, like code a friend and talk about those types of things where people can be like, okay, I can get behind that, and slowly introduce those ideas, because there are a ton of times where teachers will be like, I can't do that, like immediately. And then when they see it, and it's introduced slowly, they're like, wow, okay, wait, I have some more ideas. We could do this in this different aspect or this different way. So don't be scared of the cost and start slow.
What an incredible educational initiative of the Downingtown Area School District. You can learn more about the other innovative workforce development strategies that are happening right here in Greater Philadelphia by listening to other episodes of this exciting ETAT series on Growing Greater anywhere you get your podcast or at selectgreaterphl.com/podcast. This episode of Growing Greater, it was made possible in part thanks to the team at Ocean First Bank. As the largest community-based financial institution headquartered in central New Jersey, with branches located in 11 surrounding counties and growing, Ocean First Bank is poised for continued success as it expands in the Greater Philadelphia market. Having completed 5 whole bank acquisitions in less than 4 years, the exciting spirit of innovation continues to define the team at Ocean First. With a focus on meeting the needs of middle market clients across the Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania community, Ocean First provides commercial and residential financing solutions, wealth management, deposit services, and so much more. Visit oceanfirst.com to learn more. That's oceanfirst.com. And please join me in thanking Ocean First Bank for believing in us at Select Greater Philadelphia. Growing Greater is presented by Select Greater Philadelphia, a council of our Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia. Select is the business attraction organization for Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania, and helps to grow the economic vibrancy of our collective community by attracting new businesses and new jobs to our region. Special thanks to our program producers, Elena Karmazin and Maricela Juarez, along with the great team of marketing and creative services professionals at our chamber. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in anytime and anywhere you get your podcasts or online at selectgreaterphl.com/podcast.